Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
I'm preaching a series of messages entitled Tremendous Truths About Trials. If you would like to read more about this subject, a lot more, I've had the blessing of writing a book on the subject called Tremendous Truths About Trials. And if you would contact us, we'll do our best to get some copies to you and tell you more about it. We're talking about Tremendous Truths About Trials, and one of them that we shared in our last broadcast was we all have plenty of problems. The important thing is how we handle them. And then we pointed out that we have too many trials, more than God wants us to have, because we do spiritually stupid stuff, like worrying instead of praying. Another thing we do to bring more trials on ourselves than God would have us to have. And I'm sure you've probably been guilty of this in the past, I know I have, is by opening mouth and inserting foot. Hoof and mouth disease. Saying things that, oh, you wish as you look back you hadn't said. When I was a professor at Piedmont Bible College in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, back in the 1980s. A young man came into my office named Rick, and he asked me a question. And I never asked him why he asked me the question. I could guess, maybe I should have asked him. I never asked him why he asked the question. But the question he asked was, Dr. Yoho, what size shoe do you wear? And at the time, I wore a size 8. And so I said, I wear a size 8. And Rick said to me, that's a small shoe size for a man. And I said, yeah, I know, Rick, but I can stick it into my mouth easier. Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth? Have you ever had hoof and mouth disease? Have you ever been accused of brushing your teeth with gunpowder because you're always shooting off your mouth? Solomon said in Proverbs 10:19 that in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to imitate that bird. You know, as a man grows older and wiser, he talks less and says more. Another tremendous truth about trials is we are not all alone when we feel all alone. In fact, you are never less alone than when you are all alone with Jesus. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I was having a conversation with a beloved senior saint several Saturdays ago, and who said goodbye to his beloved Dottie within the last 2 years, made the statement, I live by myself, but I am not alone. And you know, every moment spent in the presence of God is an opportunity to have your life determined by the future and not by the past. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "In the greatest evil, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The psalmist says in Psalm 46, 10 and 11, "Be still and know that I am God." In the Hebrew, "be still" is literally cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," Selah. He says earlier in the psalm that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. "And therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the seas roar and the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. Be still and know that I am God." There is no greater present than his presence. As God said to Moses in Exodus 33:14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you wanted to run, and there was nowhere to run? It could be a situation at work or with a family member. It could be with a sickness or a financial difficulty. But have you ever been at a place in your life, maybe the pressures of ministry? Have you ever been at a place in your life where you wanted to run and there was nowhere to run? What's a person to do when he wants to run and there's nowhere to run? There's only one thing to do. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And Psalm 9:10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." As man, Jesus weeps. As God, he dries our tears. "The waters of Marah he'll sweeten for thee. He drank all their bitter at Gethsemane." Warren Wiersbe says, "If you want to know what God is really like, if he is really there and really cares for you, the best way to go about that is simply go to the Gospels. Go to the Gospels, and there, my friend, you will see God. You will see God with a child in his arms. You will see God with tears in his eyes. You will see God breaking bread for hungry peasants. You will see God bleeding and dying for a needy world." After all, didn't Jesus tell Philip in the upper room, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father"? And you are never less alone than when you are all alone with Jesus. Another tremendous truth about trials is that trials make us more like Jesus. And that's what the Christian life is all about anyway. Trials make us more like Jesus. And that's what the Christian life is all about anyway. When John Calvin, back in the 1540s, I believe it was asked to come to Geneva and to try to bring some Christian discipline to a very rowdy city. He went there and initially encountered great opposition. And Calvin remarked, I have trials. Excuse me, he said, I have afflictions, great afflictions, but they are a good school for me. It has been said that the reason that the lions in the lion's den did not eat Daniel is because they could find nothing but backbone. Back in Peter's day, an ancient goldsmith would take his crude gold ore, and he would cast it into the crucible. And as the fire separated the dross from the pure metal, the scum and dross and filth would surface. And the goldsmith would sit there and scrape the scum off the surface. As the gold continued to be in the fire, less and less dross would surface. But how did the goldsmith know when the gold was ready and no longer needed to be in the fire? Only when he could see his own countenance clearly reflected in that molten golden liquid. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The fire separates the dross from the gold, making the gold pure, and it softens the metal, making it pliable. During the 1930s in America, during the Great Depression, there was this dear man who lost his job. And then after a few months, he went through all of his life savings and his family lost their house. And then to top it all off, his precious Christian wife of 20 years died. And it seemed like the only thing he had left was his faith. And even that seemed to be slipping. One day as he was walking through the city, sad and tired, looking for work, he saw some men building a church out of stone. And he sat there for a while and watched them work. And as he watched one of the workmen chiseling a stone into the shape of a triangle, he couldn't figure out where that stone fit in the building. His curiosity finally got the better of him, and he went over and he asked the workman, where does that stone go? And the workman, pointing up to an opening near the spire, said, this stone goes up there. And I'm shaping it down here so it will fit up there. Tears filled the man's eyes as he walked away, and it seemed like the Holy Spirit kept bringing those words back to his heart. Shaping it down here so it will fit up there. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. The Greek word is poiema. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we're saved by grace and not by works. And we're so thankful that after we're saved, we're your workmanship. May others see Jesus in us. In his dear name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.